Welcome back to another episode of the Three Putt Schmucks.
This week, Tom played golf in a backyard, and Tim almost had a relapse.
We just play it for a little longer.
Let's go.
God, it's a good song, isn't it?
It really gets me excited. It really does. If you're listening along, I want to know if you're singing that along with us at the same time, because the greatest.
One day we'll actually mean it. It's just good motivation.
So, before we kick things off, Tom and I would like to proudly announce that we are now sponsored by Nike.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's a bold statement there, pal. For the people not watching, we're wearing Nike shirts.
The exact same shirt.
Exact same shirt, just the completely different colors.
But they're a great shirt. Nice fit, feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's it. Another thing I wanted to touch on quickly before we got into it, because I realized we haven't actually spoken about this in a while, is get around our Instagram. If you're listening.
Yeah, guys.
We have not mentioned anything about it in so long. But it's kind of where we share everything else that we're doing, as well as little highlights from the podcast. So if you're not already following us on Instagram, please do so. We would appreciate that.
Three Putt Schmucks. That's all it is on Instagram, guys. In fact, if you're on your phone right now, just open up your phone, head onto Instagram and search us up. Three Putt Schmucks. Good shout out, Tom.
Yeah, and if there's any particular topics or any little videos you'd like us to chat about or bring onto the show, flick us a direct message.
100%, and we'd more than welcome take on any constructive feedback as well. I mean, if there's any English teachers out there that want to tell us how to talk.
Yeah, speech pathologists, anyone that can help.
Seriously.
How long have we been going now? 3 minutes, and we haven't stuttered, we haven't mumbled. It's a new record. We didn't bugger the intro up.
Careful, mate. Treading on thin ice there.
Yeah, it's early days. There's still plenty of time.
Plenty. Look, first of all, how are you, Tom?
I'm good, mate. I am flat out at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
It's the silly season for me at work, and it's just, yeah, we're into it early this year. So,
yeah.
Busy, but good. Keen to play some more golf.
Yeah. So, I think from the looks of it, it's been a quieter week on the golf front from both of us, which is fine. Things happen, work happens, life happens, things get in the way, but we do have some things to talk about. Let's just jump head first into it. Let's go.
Okay. You're up first, pal.
Well, like we spoke about in episode 20, can you believe that we're up to 21 episodes? This is becoming out of control.
It's just a part of my week now, hey? I'm like, oh, it's Tuesday. I guess I'll talk to Tim about recording an episode.
I guess we'll just jump on and click record and see what happens. So I had a lesson last week, which at the time was the best thing in history. I couldn't stopped talking about how good it was and all the feedback he gave me and the things to work on, which during the lesson we did those work-ons and they were really good. And then I went back to the driving range 2 days later. In between those 2 days, I was just practicing at home, just with my swing, the things that he wanted me to do. So the things were, yeah, like staying tall, not letting my head drop. With my head dropping, that meant my shoulder was dropping. And then as I would come through my swing, I'd lift up and I would flick at the ball. And sometimes it would come off well, other times not so well. And yeah, so those are the things. Anyway, I went back and I just had a terrible time. Terrible time. And that was from the intro, I was talking about almost having a relapse because I was at the driving range and I was about to get in a shitty mood. And I think it was just purely because he had me doing things I'd never done before, which would then correlate to some bad shots. And I didn't know whether I should just go back to what I used to do or stick at it. And that was the frustrating thing. I know that what he's trying to get me to do in the long run will be better for my game. But it sucks almost taking a step backwards in how you've been seeing where the ball goes and how well it goes. But I don't know. It just, yeah, I just took a, couple of steps back, which is okay. I'm happy for that to happen. But yeah, it was challenging.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Does it feel like you've taken a backward step in your progress? Is that something you're battling with in your own head?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out when I go out and play a game, because I want to take on what I've learnt to a game. That is when I'll definitely know if I've taken a couple steps back. I know from what he's taught me and when I put them into some of the shots, it definitely feels a lot better when they've come off well. But it's just the balancing act of old shot or old technique and new technique, and sometimes in between the two.
Yeah. So I was actually chatting to that client of mine about this today, and it was about how when you get a lesson and you get given these little tweaks, how you can take them too far. So I caught myself, one of the big things we worked on was my alignment at the ball and the setup at the ball and the way that I was aiming. And I've caught myself, and on reflection, it was a few shots I played at the end of that 18 holes I played last week, and I noticed it. I went to the range yesterday, that I'm still looking for that feeling, but I've already kind of corrected it. So when I changed my grip, it felt really odd for a while. But after 2 or 3 days of doing it, that's just, I go to grab the club now and I go to that. It's just, that's the instinct. I don't have to think about the grip anymore. It's just been altered. So there's part of that alignment that I now get to the ball and I just line myself up with the ball better than I used to. So I caught myself at the range and afterwards thinking about the game where I'd be at the ball and I'm probably in the right position and I go, oh, actually, no, I've got to pull my right shoulder back a little bit here. It's got to feel like this, even though I was probably already there. And that overcorrection and that overthinking on what do I need to do to fix myself here is actually creating more of a problem. So when I went to the range yesterday, I went there with the intent of I'm going to think a little less. I'm going to line myself up every third, fourth shot, make sure I'm like in the right position and just check myself, but not every single time. Just hit some balls and see what happens. And it's, yeah, I don't know. And then I started limiting it to just I'm only going to focus on my setup. I'm not going to focus on my setup and my shoulders and the club path.
Yeah. See, there's some good points. And like on that with the instructor that I had, I mentioned to him how I feel like my swing has all these different personalities. And I think about it during the swing, before and after, and what's going to happen in this swing. And he said, all you can do is just have intent on what you want, on where you want the ball to go, or intent, good intention on your shot. There may be bad shots, there may be good shots, but all you can do is just keep up the with the right intent on what you want to do. And I thought that was, yeah, some really good points. He's like, you know, golf is incredibly hard, and it's almost impossible to have a perfect swing. There's always going to be things that you can work on. But he's like, so long as you have the right intent on what you want to do and how you want to approach the ball, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of pushes us towards that whole thing of just taking it one shot at a time and not trying to overcomplicate things too much. Just look at it as I'm lining myself up here. I've got all these things rolling around in my head. And it's just maybe think about where the ball's going to go and how you want it to feel and how you want it to look a little more than what are my hands and my shoulders and my back and my...
Something that was a little bit discouraging, I don't know if we mentioned it in the last episode, but he sort of had a look at all my clubs and he's basically like, these are all wrong. They're all wrong for you, like all of them. He's like, he's basically saying, don't full swing, just half swing everything until you can get a club fitting. He's like, the driver is 20% off in terms of the speed that I hit it at. So he's like, no wonder you slice it and hook it because the shaft is just completely wrong. So I need a club fitting.
But that's honestly, dude, that's testament to what my experience has been with that club fitting and how I'm now hitting the bigger clubs. I used to be terrified hitting the bigger clubs because I'd honestly have no idea how it's going to go. Where now there's a bit of confidence of I kind of know what's going to happen unless it's a miss hit.
Yeah. So that's huge. And that's, I think that has to be the next thing that happens in my game. I think it's due. I've always been someone who said, like, these are the clubs you have. If you play consistent golf for a certain amount of time and you know that you're going to keep doing that, then, yeah, you can look at, like, new clubs or club fitting or something. It's sort of like my theory of when I want to get a tattoo. Like, you look at what you want to get for a few months or 6 months or so, and if you still like it then go and get it. It's like, okay, well, I know that I'm going to keep wanting to play golf consistently for the next 6 months to 60 years. So I need to take those steps now, I think, and look at improving what I have.
Yeah. I'm putting it at the point now where it was that feeling that we spoke of being stuck at a ceiling.
Yeah.
Where my scores were stuck. Like, I physically couldn't get myself better. And I was trying all these different things and it was like, I need professional advice.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I need equipment that's suited to me so I can actually deliver more consistently. And straight away I've seen it. I'm still getting used to all that stuff. So there's a bit on. Like, I'm trying to restructure my swing. I'm trying to get used to new clubs. I'm trying to remanage my distances and I flipped the whole thing on its head. But I think once I get a hold of it and I bring it back together, the results will start showing pretty rapidly and consistently. That's what I'm most excited for. Like, five rounds, maybe three rounds time, the next five rounds, what do those five look like on average?
Yep, one step back, two steps forward.
Yeah. It doesn't even feel like a step back, though, for me at the moment. I don't feel like I've gone backwards as such. It's almost like you've taken an off ramp to a faster road or something. It's weird. Like, it's...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that shows the positive experience that you had with that, with the club fitting and those lessons and the adjustments that you had.
I remember saying to the guy during the club fitting, I got to like the 10th hit with the new club of the 7-iron, and it was, like I said, like 20, 25 meters further and higher, and it was dropping and it was straighter and it was consistent. I was like, dude, I feel like I've just unlocked a new cheat code or something. It's bizarre because I don't feel like I'm hitting the ball any different.
Yeah.
But it's like 1,000% better than it was this morning.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. It was wild.
That we've just been, battling away on these courses for no reason.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so actually, yeah, the data is huge for you then in the next few games that you play.
Yeah, absolutely. The next couple of weeks are going to be very, very interesting. Because I think if I go back to Gosford, if I got that 104 at the Springs, unless I make some pretty terrible errors, I reckon I'm under 100, at least in one of the next three. There's something I'm going to change that I think is going to be critical. I was watching a YouTube video the other day. It's some golf YouTuber guy in America. He played a round against Bryson DeChambeau, and he started at this 5 under. Good? Hey?
Is this good golf?
Yeah, it could be. I've forgotten the guy's name now. I feel bad. Anyway, so...
Oh, I know the guy, yeah.
You know the guy?
Yeah, I know the guy. Rick Shields?
No, not Rick Shields. He's an American fella.
Okay.
Young guy. Anyway.
Yeah.
So he's playing around against Bryson DeChambeau. He starts at 5 under. Bryson ends up beating him by 1. But it was the conversation of, do you keep score? Like, do you know when you're going through a round, do you know where you're up to and how far you are to the leader and all this kind of stuff? And he's like, honestly, the only time I ever look at my score is if I'm trying to break 60 and how many more birdies do I need to make to get there?
Interesting.
That's it. That's the only time you'll ever look at a total score.
What is your take on that then?
It was, again, another discussion with my mate yesterday. Don't go to the round with, like, I need to get this total, right? Because that's exactly what happened to me at the Springs. I got to the 16th. It's in sight. Bloody hell, I'm close here. Then, you know, I mess up a birdie putt from a meter. And then my head goes down. My inner voice is pretty brutal. Like, the way I talk to myself in those situations is pretty horrid. Like, I would never talk to another person like that ever.
Yeah.
Like, I would never verbalize that to another person ever. But I just drill myself in such a negative way because I've, like, missed out on this opportunity to, like, do nothing. It means nothing.
Yeah. What's the opportunity?
Right? So, it's – I'm going to go back to – I'm going to go under the green. I'm going to change my settings to not show me the total score at all until after the round.
I didn't know it could do that.
You can do that.
Because I was talking to you about this a while ago, and I think that is one of the big issues for you is that you really get attached to the score. So if you go back to the Springs and you change that over, and instead of thinking about you need to get this certain score today, if you go there and just think about the swing thoughts that you had at your lesson and just think about that.
Yeah.
And that's all you think about, one shot at a time.
Yeah. Pull up to it. Like, I could have had a triple the hole before, but now I'm hitting my driver again off the tee. And what did I do last time I hit the driver? And how did that feel? And where do I want to hit it? Where am I lining up? Cool. I've hit that shot. Right. What's the next one? And then you get to the end. You go 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, whatever, however many. Put it in that many parts. I hit a bunker. Next. Start again. One shot at a time. One hole at a time. Don't look at the score and then get to the end of the round and go, all right, how did I go today? That's what I'm going to try for the next. I'm going to give it a red hot crack and say 5 rounds.
Okay. Something that, yeah, I think it's good that you say you're going to do that. But, yeah, like you said, you really get at yourself when things go wrong. So, like, what are you going to try and do to avoid that happening? If you do hit a bad shot,
I think a big part of that's fueled by the score.
For sure.
Because I look at the score and I go, I've got 3 holes left on the front 9 and I'm currently sitting on X and I have to get 3 bogeys in a row. And then I get a double and I'm like, you fuckwit.
Yeah. You've let yourself down here. Like, what are you doing?
and then it rolls into the next one. Now you got to get a par. Like, it just, it's
so much pressure.
Unnecessary pressure that doesn't actually assist the game. That it's a hindrance. Yeah. So that's the goal. Remove that self-imposed pressure.
Yeah. Not necessarily assist the game. It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't assist you as a person, that sort of pressure. Not the game. It doesn't assist you.
No. No. Because I remember leaving the Springs and I was shattered.
Mm.
Like, I was actually gutted. I sat in the car park in the car just being like, what was that? It's like, why do I feel like that after playing a game of golf? I got to duck out of work and play golf on a Wednesday. How cool is that? And I was like genuinely upset.
Were there tears?
No. Would I tell you if there was? Probably not.
So there was.
There was. Fuck off.
But it's like, yeah, you finish that and you go, oh, what a waste of time. Like, I need to, like, what was that? The last 2.5-3 hours? Like, oh, that was a waste of my life. When it wasn't.
So that's where I'm thinking, do I go, not look at the score, get to the end of the round, don't even add it up yet, maybe walk off, have a think about it. Like, where could I have done better? Where were the good parts of the day? Do a little, like, reflection of the game before I even see the score.
I think that would be really interesting to see how you go without looking at your score. And like, yeah, golf is very technical in terms of this, like your swing and everything that you do with your golf swing. But like a lot of what we talk about is that every human being is different in regards to how they approach certain situations. And I've been through that, you've been through that, and everyone deals with it in their own different ways.
For sure.
So for us to be able to keep developing on how we can approach our games and work on these little small points here and there and keep going back and conditioning ourselves, it's only going to work out for the best.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's we make 101% changes. It's going to be huge.
Massive. You played golf in a backyard.
I did. And the day after that, I spent my entire Sunday at home trying to work out a way to justify having a sim at home.
Is it that good?
Like, yeah, I went to Tarrant and I was like, how many times do I need to go to the driving range before this pays for itself? And it was like 100. It was like 2 years of driving range fees before it's you break even.
Okay. Whoa. What kind of simulator are we talking about here?
It's not the simulator as such. So there's a few parts to it. It's the net and the pad to hit your balls off and all that kind of stuff. That's all relatively cheap. You can get that fully set up for under 500, which in itself would be great just for ball striking, just to swing, hit balls. The benefits from that would be huge. The big ticket item, they range, depending on the brand, from about 800 up to about 1500, and it's a TrackMan or a Garmin or a whatever, and it sits behind you and it registers the ball and then it Bluetooths to a device. So like we're using a tablet, and then you're on a range and it's showing where you hit the ball. And it'll tell you your backspin, your club speed, your ball speed, your this, your that.
That's cool.
So it's like going to the driving range, right? You're still hitting off a mat, but you're getting a little more data out of it.
And can you play courses as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So for like me, where it's like I can't necessarily get out on the weekend and play.
Yeah.
But I could take an hour and a half spread out over 6 hours and play 18 holes of somewhere.
Augusta.
Yeah, like, right? You could.
That's so cool. Did you get any takeaways from some of the data? Because you would have loved seeing that on the screen.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was also wearing, like, Birkenstocks and I had about 7 beers while I was doing it. So, I'm not sure how
great it was. Well, you've been in better conditions playing golf, Tom.
Oh, geez. So, by the end of it, it wasn't very pretty. But it's like, it's cool because I got to practice things without being at the range, being like, oh, I've only got 20 balls left. I better make them count. It was like, I'm going to hit my 3-wood off the tee 30 times at different heights and see what happens.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, cool.
That was what was really cool. It was like, oh, you know, I'm hitting the driver pretty consistently from 220 to 250 flight, according to this little thing. And that's kind of what I've been doing. They're not always straight, but that's kind of the distance. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, how far does the 3-wood go? How far does the 3-hybrid go off a tee? How far does the 3-hybrid go if I hit it 10 times off the deck? How's my 8-iron looking for distance? So it was like, it was cool to play around with things like that. And even if it's not super accurate, like, it's heaps of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
It's in your backyard.
And is there – there's obviously not putting if you're playing a course, is there?
No. So once you're on the green, it will award you – I think it's like if you're within 10 feet, it's one putt, 20 feet, two putts. Outside of 20 feet, it's a 3-putt.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's automatic. Oh, good. Putting.
Love that. That's that makes the game a lot easier for us, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it's like it's accurate enough, right? Because there was one hole we played. It was a par 3, and I had to hit my 5-iron because it was like 180-meter carry. And I couldn't hit it. I don't know what was happening. I had like 10 attempts at this green, and I just kept fatting it. And I was like, I fatted that. It was going to be short, and then sure enough, it dives off. It only goes like 70 meters into the water. Do it again. Oh, no, I got that out of the toe. Slices around to the right. Like, it's... I think it's accurate enough.
Yeah, for you to say that's what's going to happen and then it happens on the screen.
The appalling thing is I know where my miss hits are going now. That's the I've hit enough bad shots to know exactly what my bad ones are doing. I've got no idea what my good ones are doing.
But then do you know the feeling between the good and the bad in this swing?
I'm getting there.
Like, is it good? Is it? Can you pull away from it? That's the main thing.
Not yet. Not yet.
Mm.
I did notice, though, that at the range yesterday, my miss hits are getting less. And sometimes my miss hits are still straight, but just short.
Yeah.
So it's like, not so bad.
We'll cop that.
Yeah, you'd take that. Like, you're not happy with it, but you're going, oh, next.
You'd definitely take it. If it was served on a dish, you're having it.
Yeah. But then there was probably, like, I'm going to say 50% of every shot with each club was like, holy shit, where'd that come from? Yeah. So it's like the consistency is going to come. I've just got to settle in.
So what's the outcome look like for you then? Are you going to get out there and play anytime soon? Have you got anything lined up or teed up, may I say?
I have nothing teed up at all.
Yeah, we actually have to play golf so that we have something to talk about.
It's kind of the point, isn't it?
It's the main point.
Yeah,
it's the main subject.
Well, let's work that out. And hey, so we'll rendezvous next week and hopefully have a conversation to have.
Speaking of subjects,
oh yeah,
you know how you Andrew, you did a trivia for Andrew on Australian sayings
or
terms. The other day I was at the Bottle-O and I was getting like one of the ginger beers. I can't remember what they're called. Anyway, he goes, oh, I'm like, oh, I haven't tried these before. He's like, oh, give these a bit of a rip snorter. And I was like, I've heard that before somewhere. I'm pretty sure in your little trivia thing for Andrew, you said rip snorter.
Yeah, but old mates used it out of context there.
What does it mean again?
It's really good.
It's really good. Oh, maybe that's what it was. But yeah, it just threw me. But it put me onto the idea that seeing as though we have a golf podcast, I am going to put you on the spot here, Tombo.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
We're going to go through 20 questions of golf trivia. So if you're listening, pull out your phone, pull out your notes, anything. You can play along, write down your answers. We'll go through them at the end. So, Tom,
I'm going to butcher get your this phone image. Out.
Get your phone out, mate.
No.
We are going to go through 20 questions, okay?
20.
20. Are you ready?
So ready.
All right, here we go. Question. And everyone, play along. Let us know what you get. Let us know your scores. Which year was golf's last appearance at the Olympic Games before returning to the lineup of sports in 2016?
Oh, dude. 19. Oh, wait. I've got to make sure it's actually a bloody Olympic year too.
Basically, when was golf last at the Olympics?
1968.
Are you writing that down?
No. Am I supposed to write it down?
You just remember it? No. You just remember your answers?
God. Give me a minute.
I gave you ample opportunity.
Oh, so much, clearly.
Okay, question two. Who was the top of the golf world rankings prior to lockdown?
Do you want me to answer now?
Tom has a great thinking face, if anyone wanted to know that.
Am I answering now?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can say it out loud as well. Like, let the people hear what you're thinking.
I'm thinking, was it Brooks Koepka? Is that before he went downhill?
We'll find out. 2020? Question three. Hmm? How many times has Tiger Woods won the Masters?
Three? Maybe four? Three? No, three.
Okay, question. This is speed trivia, purely just
go
for
fast.
Listeners.
Come on.
Which year did Brooks Koepka win his first major?
2016.
Who won the match? Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson in 2018.
No idea, dude. Tiger, go on. Next.
Name the only non-American player to win a major in 2019.
John Rahm.
In dollars, what is the total prize money purse available in the Players' Championship? It's the most lucrative event on the tour.
20 this year?
I think so.
As in total?
Yeah, total.
Yeah, like 24 million, isn't it?
That might be Aussie dollars, but yep. I think this is in US. Right, question 18. 8. Which major has Rory McIlroy not won?
The Masters.
Question 9. We're going to keep this at 10, by the way. Who became the first European player to score what is now the maximum of 5 points in a single Ryder Cup in 2018?
Wait, say that again. European player to score 5 points.
Who became the... Yep.
Question 10. Come on.
Which golfer recorded the most points for USA in the 2019 Ryder Cup?
I don't know, dude.
You got nothing. You got nothing, mate. All right, here we go. Answers. Question one.
Yeah.
1904. Question two. McIlroy.
Dickhead.
Question three. Five.
Oh.
Tiger Woods has won 5. Yep. Question four. Which year did Brooks Koepka win his first major? 2017.
Oh, I was one off.
Who won, Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson? Phil Mickelson. sixth non-American player to win a major in 2019, Shane Lowry. Seven in dollars. What is the total prize money purse? It is $12.5 million. I think you're on there. If you're saying Aussie dollars.
No, I rounded it down to 18.
Oh, okay. No deal. Question eight. Which major has McIlroy not won? The Masters. Yeah. He gets one. Question nine. First European player to score what is now the maximum of 5 points in a single Ryder Cup. Francisco Molinari.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get that. Yep.
Never heard of the bloke.
No.
And question 10, which golfer recorded the most points for USA in the 2019 Ryder Cup? It was Justin Thomas. How many did you get?
I got one, mate.
Look, there's some work to be done.
Can you play the music, please?
I'm trying to play it and it's not working.
Yeah, I tried to play it too and it's not working for me.
Oh, no. Oh. Wait, here we go. We're going to put it on now. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. And we hope you have a great day.
What a mess. Finish it. We're this close. Turn it up. It's the end. Turn it up quick.
Good night.
See? The end's the best. Good night. Bye.